Great to see everyone here today. And today is week 3 of our Proverbs series. Let's do a little polling of the audience. How are we doing? How are we doing with our Proverb of the Day challenge? How's that going? What are we at? Day 14. So we should be on Proverbs 14. What we've been doing, in case you're just joining us, we are reading a proverb a day throughout the month. We started a series on Proverbs right at the end of April, and the challenge for the series has been, okay, let's read one proverb a day, and then what is the wisdom that jumps out at you? What are the images, the metaphors, the words that speak to you in that day? Hopefully you've been following along on our Instagram account. Been making sure to post one verse, one line, some words of wisdom from Proverbs for the day. You can find all that on our Awaken Instagram page. Now, this morning, the title of today's sermon is Wisdom from the Beginning of Time. Let us start. Oh, I'll give you, this book has deeply influenced my thinking of this sermon, so I want to give credit to Peter Enns and his book, How the Bible Actually Works, subtitle, which is a brilliant subtitle, in which I explain how an ancient, ambiguous, and diverse book leads us to wisdom rather than answers, and why that's great news. If you've been here for a while, you know that I quote Peter Enns quite a bit. I reference him a lot. He has been deeply influential for me. He is an Old Testament scholar. I love his work. If you haven't read anything by him, check out his stuff. This book is a great place to start. He is brilliant, but the way in which he writes, he's like a stand-up comedian. He's a funny guy. So he can take all these really big, complex issues and ideas, theological ideas, and he can make you laugh while he is writing it in a way that you actually understand it. Peter Enns, he also has a podcast called The Bible for Normal People. So if you consider yourself normal, might be a podcast for you to check out. Now, let's start in Proverbs 3. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. This is an extremely, extremely profound proverb here. Because what is this proverb saying? It's saying, without wisdom, there's no creation. Think about that for a moment. Without wisdom, we wouldn't be here this morning. Everything that you see around you, this creation that we're a part of, without wisdom, none of it would be here. I mean, do you see what the author here is saying? In some way, some mysterious way that we don't quite know how it all works out, wisdom and creation are inseparable. You can't have one really without the other. You can't have creation without wisdom, and wisdom is embedded into the creation itself. Now, this idea continues in Proverbs 8, which again, we're 5 or 6 days removed from that, so you've probably forgotten this already. Hopefully, you made it through Proverbs 8. But here's what Proverbs 8 says. All right, here's a big theological debate. You can grab a commentary. You can read pages and pages as to whether the Hebrew word should be translated created or acquired. Doesn't quite matter for us this morning. The Lord created or acquired. In some way, the Lord possessed wisdom at the beginning of his way. At the start of his works of old, in primeval days, I was formed. I being wisdom. At the start. At the world's origin, when there were yet no deeps, I was born. Okay, time out here for a second, because you might be wondering, what in the world does any of this mean? What we have just read is a riff on Genesis 1. Whenever you read the Bible, you have to always go back and start at the beginning. Whoever wrote this proverb right here, they had Genesis 1 in mind when they wrote it. Here is Genesis 1, in case you need a reminder. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. It was a swirling mess of chaos, is basically what this means. Before creation, before there was any form, everything was just a giant swirling mess. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The author of Proverbs 1, when there were yet no deeps, I was born. Same word in Hebrew. Genesis 1, the deep is there. In Hebrew, it's the word tahom, in case you want to know, you want to write that word down. And here now, before the tahom even existed, wisdom was formed. What we find here in Proverbs 8, it's like a prologue to the prologue. If Genesis 1 is the prologue to the Bible, all about creation, kind of how things sort of took form and shape, well, now Proverbs 8 is a prologue to the prologue. Like, what came before Genesis 1? The creation of wisdom. Wisdom was there before any form of creation. When there were yet no springs, and again, this is all a riff on Genesis 1, no sources of water, before the mountains were set down, before the hills, wisdom was born, ere he made the earth and the ground, the land's first lumps of soil. When God established the heavens, there was wisdom. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he secured the clouds on high, when he strengthened the founts of the deep, when he marked the bounds of the sea, when he formed the boundary between land and the water, that the waters transgressed not his command, when he firmed up the foundations of the earth, wisdom was near him. And I love this. What was wisdom doing at the time? Growing up. Wisdom is like a child, like a little baby. Here's wisdom growing up. And then I love this. Wisdom was God's delight. Like, wisdom is God's child. Day by day. And what's wisdom doing? Frolicking. Think about wisdom just sort of frolicking around. Frolicking in his habitable world. Wisdom is just a picture of freedom. A picture of joy. Here's actually the best picture I could find for this. Here's wisdom. God's creating by wisdom, through wisdom, and wisdom is just enjoying this entire process, frolicking in the creation, freedom, joy, delight, satisfaction. Look at all that is being made. Look at all that's being created. And then I love this final line, and my delight, wisdom delight, is in who? Every single one of you. So we have wisdom as being sort of like it's God's child, but now it's almost as if we are now the child or the children of wisdom. What's happened? This is such a profound statement. What the author here is just mind blowing when we stop and think about this for a moment. What Proverbs 8 is saying, and this is from Peter Enns in that book, creation is God's grand act of wisdom. I love that. God's grand act of wisdom is the creation that you all see around you. And as we notice what the author says here, creation takes place only after wisdom arrives on the scene. Everything is a swirling mess of chaos. When's it put into place? When is order established from the chaos? After wisdom arrives. What about life? The very breath that we have been gifted with. When does it arrive? After wisdom. There's this idea running throughout the book of Proverbs that without wisdom, creation would not be possible. Creation and wisdom are inseparable. So all the beauty, all the life that you see around you has been made possible by wisdom. This is why wisdom can call out from every single part of creation, because wisdom is embedded in the creation itself. Wisdom is present everywhere you look, except those places that have been taken over by folly. But the possibility of wisdom is everywhere. When you see this, It's an act of wisdom. And I was thinking about this as I put this picture here. There's probably someone here who's like, well, Dave, I can tell you the science behind how mountains were formed. Yeah. Okay. I got it. I totally understand. We can talk all about that. But what the before science, before we became so rational and had to prove and rationalize and put everything into forms and structure, what the author here thousands of years ago is saying, what you see in front of you, it's an act of wisdom. This is an act of wisdom. Every beautiful thing that you see is an act of wisdom. What about every, we have this one too. This, forest trails, an act of wisdom. And then every single person you will encounter is an act of wisdom. Why? Because your wisdom's delight. Your very existence, the very breath that you just took is an act of wisdom. Now, maybe you're thinking, all right, that's great. I love it. All right. Really interesting. But what does this mean for me and my life? I can walk around and be like, oh, wisdom. Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, look at that mountain over there. Look at that sunset. But what does it mean for me in my life? How do we apply this to what we are going through every single day? I have another picture for us this morning. Does your life ever feel like this? Got a few takers here. Does life ever feel like a swirling mess of chaos? Because I know mine feels that way from time to time. And I'm left trying to pull that red string out. And then you know how like you have something that's all tangled up and you pull it out, but then it forms this big knot. Then you spend the next couple of hours just trying to get that knot out, but you realize your nails aren't long enough. So you try to find someone else who might have longer nails or something that you could kind of squeeze in there to pull that knot out and straighten everything out. Yeah, life often becomes chaotic. Life, it feels like this swirling mess, that which is described in Genesis 1. What Proverbs 8 and Proverbs 3, what they're saying is that the same wisdom that was present with God at creation is present and available to you. The same wisdom that has formed the mountains and the seas, the heavens, that has formed you is also present and available to you right now in this moment. So then Proverbs becomes a book about how it is that we can access this ancient, ancient, timeless wisdom that has formed creation, and then how do we live by that wisdom as well? Because if you're anything like me, the chaos, you're a bit uncomfortable with chaos. You would prefer order. You don't want a giant hairball of a life. You want life to be smooth. And yes, there are going to be some bumps, but then how do you level those bumps? How do you untangle the yarn? We have here in the beginning, remember, Proverbs 1 through 9 is an intro to all the different Proverbs. So Proverbs 10 through 30 was written earlier than 1 through 9. Whoever edited and collected Proverbs 10 through 30 wrote down 1 through 9 as a way to explain what the rest of the book of Proverbs was all about. In the introduction, we have this deep, deep word of wisdom about the creation, or rather the wisdom present at creation is also available for you. And just like God's creation is a grand act of wisdom, creating a life, creating your life, is to be a grand act of wisdom. Every decision that you make, every step that you take each day is you creating a life. You creating your life. So what we have here is God took chaos and by wisdom created order. And now that wisdom can take the chaos of your life and create something beautiful out of it. Something that brings meaning to this existence that you've been gifted with. Because that's what we all want. We all want to live a life of meaning. We all want to live a life that feels ordered in a particular way. Where we're going through our days and in some way we're giving back to the creation that we're a part of. We're giving back to each other. We're in alignment with God and the way of living that has been established thousands of years ago. What Proverbs is saying is that creating a life, you're to see it as an act of wisdom. You're not just to unintentionally go about your days and whatever happens just kind of happens, but rather you're to see every decision and every step as you creating something beautiful with the gift of breath that you have been given. Your life matters. Your life deeply matters. It's not an accident that you are here. You have been given a gift. And the way to fully unwrap that gift, to fully step into that gift, is to live by this wisdom that has been present from before the beginning of time. It's a tall task. It can be intimidating, right? Now, when we choose to seek and live by wisdom, here's what Proverbs 8 is saying, and all the book of Proverbs, I would add. You are choosing to join with the flow of the universe. There's a way in which things are moving. When you choose to seek wisdom, which is at the heart of the book of Proverbs, get wisdom, seek it, desire it. When you choose to walk in that path, last week looked at the banquet of Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. When you enter into the doors of Lady Wisdom and you're saying, yes, this is the life that I desire. In a way, you're going in flow with the way in which the entire universe wants to move. So you're taking things that are chaotic and you are now creating order. You feel like your life is in alignment with something greater than you. Have you ever experienced this? Where there's sort of this feel that you have, like, yeah, everything, I made this decision, I was walking in this path, and it just, have you ever said this? It just feels right. Or write this one. Have you ever said, this just doesn't feel right? Yeah, well, there's this gut feeling that we have within us. When we make a decision that's in alignment, we just sort of, we know it. You can't explain it. You can't put it into words. You can't rationalize it. But you just know there's something that feels right about this. And then the opposite is true as well. When you're walking in a particular path, something just feels, I don't know, I can't put it into words. I don't know how to explain it, but it just feels off. I know it sounds weird. I know I sound like a crazy person, but something just feels off about this decision or about where I'm walking. And then when you choose to seek and live by wisdom, all the promises of wisdom, this is the hope, that you are to receive the promises of wisdom, which are peace, vitality, satisfaction, hope, joy, and endurance. Who wants to sign up for that type of living? Yeah, this is what Proverbs is saying. When you go with the flow of all creation, and that's true. I mean, when we stop and think about it a minute, we're just like a really small speck in the universe. I mean, we're a small speck on the earth. We're a small speck in North America, in New York, in Westchester. But think about the universe. And Proverbs just is kind of, it blows the whole thing wide open. It's like, yeah, this entire universe is created here by wisdom. You're just a small speck, but yet your life matters in a certain way, and you can actually move in the way in which the entire universe is moving. Now, when you choose wisdom, what do you think wisdom does? When you choose wisdom's path, what does wisdom do? Wisdom looks like this. Wisdom's like, oh, yes, they chose me again. And wisdom is like a proud parent. You ever watch your kids as they're growing up and they make the choice that you would make? or they make the right choice. Maybe it's a choice that you wouldn't make, but yet they make the right choice, and your heart warms a little bit, and you're that proud parent, that proud mama bear who's smiling down at your child. You're like, I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them. They chose this path, and yeah, look at what this road is producing. They chose not to go. They chose not to hang out with those friends and do that on a Friday night, and they did this instead. It's a choice of wisdom. Every single time you choose wisdom, wisdom rejoices. Wisdom frolics. Carry that picture around in your head. Whenever you choose the path of wisdom, just imagine Julie Andrews right there frolicking through the mountains. Well, then the opposite is true as well. When you neglect wisdom, you are resisting the flow of the universe. If all creation wants to move in a particular direction and wants to move all of us in that direction, which I believe it does, well, then when you dig your heels in and say, I'm not going to live that way, you are now resisting the flow. You're pushing back against the way in which everything wants to move. There's a reason why you might be feeling tired if you neglect wisdom. There's a reason you might be feeling fatigued if you are giving in to folly. And so instead of order, our life feels chaotic. It feels out of alignment. Disease might crop up, or this dis-ease that we have within us about life, and there's something that just, it's weighing me down. It's not bringing the life and the joy and the vitality and the satisfaction and hope, the endurance that I long for. So here's how this works. Here's how Proverbs works. Here's how Proverbs helps us to choose wisdom. Three examples. Proverbs 10, in a multitude of words, offense will not be absent, while he who restrains his lips is astute. So much wisdom right here. Here's a question, two questions for us. Have you ever said something you later look back on and regret? Multitude of words, offense will not be absent. But he who restrains his tongue, she who restrains her tongue, is wise. Have you ever looked back on a conversation and thought, you know what, I really should have kept my mouth shut. Too many words there. I should have said a whole lot less. This is offering us the path to wisdom, keeping your mouth shut, or the path out of alignment, the path of folly, saying too much and not holding your tongue. Proverbs 28:20, the faithful man has many blessings, but he who hastens to get rich will not go unpunished. Here's a question for us. Have you ever overlooked the blessings in front of you as you sped your way forward to more? Whether it's more wealth or success or a different season of life. Yeah, the faithful one. The one who is present in the moment, faithful to what is in front of them right now, in this moment, is able to see their blessings. But he who speeds forward in life for whatever they think they may desire misses out. Yeah, there's so much wisdom in that one. Man, these Proverbs, they are profound. So much depth to them. Let's do one more. A generous person will be sated. He who gives drink, his own thirst will be slaked. He who withholds grain, stop withholding grain, all of you, please. I know you have plenty of it. The nation will curse him. Westchester County will curse he who withholds their grain. While there will be blessing for the head of a distributor. One who pursues the good seeks goodwill. But as for him who pursues evil, it'll come upon him. Have you ever been tempted to hoard what you've received instead of living generously? I mean, these are three Proverbs out of hundreds. We could go on and on. This is how Proverbs works. We're being presented a path before us. Will we choose to move with creation and wisdom, or will we choose to resist and move out of alignment with creation. Because what you all desire is to take this giant hairball, tangle of yarn, and turn it into something beautiful, something that has meaning. Here's another truth of Proverbs 8. Wisdom exists within the chaos. Chaos is a part of life. And that's why you open up the Bible, Genesis 1. Yeah, the chaos is there. Darkness, it's there. Wisdom isn't somewhere outside of it that you need to go out there and grab to bring back in, but rather wisdom is present with the chaos, in the darkness, desiring to bring forth meaning and to help you rightly order your life. We have this. Julie Andrews is frolicking. And sometimes maybe half of those are made and you still have a whole tangle. Yeah, that's normal. I mean, very rarely do you achieve this because that's just not how life works. So maybe I should have split the image right here and had half of these bracelets made and the other half still be this whole tangle of yarn. Now, let's talk about Jesus and wisdom. Because the first followers of Jesus, they started reading the Old Testament. They started reading these passages in Proverbs through the lens of Jesus. And they came up with some pretty bold statements. Here's Paul, 1 Corinthians 1:30. It is because of him, because of God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us, what? Wisdom from God. What is Paul saying here? Christ is wisdom. Jesus embodies wisdom. The wisdom that was talked about in existence before creation, now the first followers of Jesus are saying, yes, that's wisdom, but the embodiment of that wisdom is Jesus. It's like, think about love. We can talk about love all we want. We can even say it, I love you, but what exactly does it mean? Love is something that is meant to be embodied. It's to be acted out. Wisdom is now embodied in a person, according to these first followers of Jesus. And then what about this one? In John chapter 1, in the beginning, what does this sound like? Genesis 1, again. Remember, everything goes back to Genesis 1. So what John is saying, hey, there's this whole new creation going on here, guys. Don't miss it. And in the beginning, like way, 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 way back, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. This Word, who do you think this Word might be? He's talking about Jesus, and Jesus is now replacing wisdom. Jesus is again being equated with wisdom here in John, because wisdom, Jesus, was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. What's the promise of wisdom? Life. A light for your path. And then here we go. The light, the wisdom, Jesus, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Wisdom exists in the chaos. Jesus exists with you in the chaos. I mean, so much depth to these verses. First followers of Jesus are like, hey, there's something crazy going on. There's something. They're trying to explain who Jesus was. They're trying to wrap their heads around who it was that Jesus happened to be. And they start reading through the Old Testament and they pick up all these signs. They're like, hey, that wisdom that we've been talking about for hundreds, thousands of years that has been around from the beginning of time, it came and met with us. Wisdom put on flesh and bone. Like, whoa. Whoa. And the wisdom, this Christ, is still with us today, shining light upon our path, showing us the way to live in alignment with God and with all creation. Jesus himself says it this way. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Who does the thief sound like? Maybe Lady Folly from last week? The thief comes to steal, to destroy your life. But I, Jesus, wisdom, have come that they, all of us, all of humanity, may have life and have it to the full. This is the same promise of wisdom. Now, what does this all mean? Three things here to wrap it up. First, wisdom is a pretty big deal in the Bible. Nice and simple. Wisdom is a pretty big deal. It's a really big deal. It's a central theme, maybe the central theme of the Bible. Number two, God longs for you to acquire wisdom and then live by wisdom. Oftentimes you might hear this question around churches being asked, what is God's will for my life? Went to a Christian college. That's what everyone wanted. Who should I marry? What's God's plan for my life? As if there's one road that you should be taking. I would think God's plan for your life is a lot bigger than just the one person that you should marry. So what is it that is God's plan, or what's God's plan for your life? What's God's will for your life? I would distill it down into this one sentence. Live by wisdom. Everything else will work itself out. If you live by wisdom, all those other answer or questions that you're asking, they'll turn from chaos into order. You seek wisdom, you live by wisdom, everything will take care of itself. And then here's the third. A life of wisdom is a life in harmony with the entire creation. Which raises a question for me. Could the unrest that we feel in our society, socially, politically, economically, ecologically, could that unrest be the result of us collectively neglecting wisdom? Because that seems to be what the Bible is saying. It seems to be what Proverbs is saying. When you neglect wisdom, there are consequences. When you neglect wisdom, your life can feel out of alignment. Our shared collective life can feel out of alignment as well. Yeah, Proverbs 8 is saying some pretty, pretty big, I mean, these are massive truth bombs that Proverbs 8 is dropping on us. Now, practical question for us. How do I get wisdom? Probably what you're asking at this point. All right, how do I live in alignment with the creation? Because if I miss it, I'm going to be in big trouble. I'm going to have that hairball or that giant tangle of string. How do I untangle the string? I've been answering this question here and there over the past couple of weeks, so I want to offer two more ways in which you can gain wisdom for your life. First, ask. Maybe the wisdom that we desire, maybe we don't desire it because we don't ask for it. Because we think on our own we can kind of figure it out. Here's a parable of Jesus. Ask and it will be given to you. Is anyone in need of some wisdom this morning? Is anyone feeling the chaos, the darkness? And you can use some ordering of your life, some light to shine into the darkness. Yeah, ask for it. It'll be given. Notice, it does not say how long. It doesn't say ask for it and prime 2-day shipping, it'll be there. No, you keep asking. Seek and you will find eventually. Sometimes it takes months. It takes years. But the promise is that eventually you will find that which you are seeking. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. How do you get wisdom? You ask for it. You humble yourself. It's an act of humility. In Proverbs, there's this word fool that comes up quite a bit. The fool is the one who does not live by wisdom. And why do they not live by wisdom? Because they're arrogant, and they think they have all the answers on their own. You ever live this way? Sometimes we don't ask for it because we're just fools. And we think on our own we have all the answers. Wisdom comes to the humble. And then here's a second way to gain wisdom. Pay attention to when your life or when your body feels in harmony, and when your life or when your body feels out of harmony. There's another word used for fools in Proverbs. It's the word senseless, and it is referring to those who live unaware. Those who live without any awareness of what is happening within them. You ever find yourself breathing in a very shallow way, maybe because you're nervous about something, and you don't pick up on it right away? It's your body telling you something. There's something going on. Maybe you're angry, and so you're taking shorter, shallower breaths. Yeah, you pay attention to your breath. And if something is off, it's an opportunity for you to ask, okay, what's going on here? Why am I feeling this way? What's the wisdom for me here in this moment? You ever clench your jaw? You ever wake up in the middle of the night or in the morning, you're like, oh, my head. What was I thinking about all night long? I remember I would go to the dentist, and the dentist would be, can you open your mouth a little more? And I'd be like, I can't. Oh, my God. Like, why did they talk with you when you're there in the chair? Tell me all about your vacation. Like, no, not now. She would be like, hey, she'd be working on my teeth. Be like, can you open your mouth? I'm like, yeah, I can't open my jaw. She's like, wow, you're pretty stressed out, huh? Are you clenching your jaw? What about your fists? There's been times in my life when I don't even realize it, but I stand up and it's like my fists are just clenched. Yeah, that's an opportunity to lean in and be like, hey, what's going on here? This is not the way for me to be living. I'm out of alignment. Okay, let me ask and inquire a bit more. What's happening here? Why am I clenching things so tightly? Or what about this one? Have you ever felt like your life is becoming larger and more spacious? Have you ever given freely to someone? You've given something away and you walk away and it just feels like you can breathe easier. But then the opposite as well. You ever, maybe you get into a fight with someone or you've held on to something that you feel like you were supposed to have given that to them or you're supposed to have paid for their meal, whatever it was. And it just feels like your life becomes tighter and more constricted. How do we gain and live by wisdom? You pay attention to your body. When does everything feel right? When does it feel in harmony? And then when does it feel out of alignment? God's greatest desire for you is to live by wisdom. It's a wisdom that has been present from the beginning of time, before time even existed. And the truth of Proverbs is that that wisdom, the truth of the New Testament writers, is that Jesus, the wisdom given for us, is present with you in this moment and in the next moment. And in the next one, and the one when you find yourself at a fork in the road wondering, which way do I go? And you need some light. You need some answers. And so you humble yourself. You ask. And the wisdom present from the beginning of creation, the wisdom through which creation came into existence, will be there to offer insight to guide your way.